drag pageants have had a long history of discriminating against people who don't fit their idea of what drag can be. Sometimes you just have to break from the system, like Crystal LaBeija did when she created the fantastic New York City ball scene after being treated poorly at the drag contest featured in the documentary The Queen. And sometimes you just have to start a revolution until the powers that be make the change you want to see.
RuPaul recently came under fire for saying that they weren't interested in casting trans women on RuPaul's Drag Race, and boy, did the internet let her have it. Today, the newly crowned Miss Gay Illinois of US of A 2018, Vivian DeJour, joins us to look at pageants, the queens that enter them, and how to keep them all one big happy family.
Plus, Ben De La Creme's controversial elimination on Drag Race All-Stars 3.
Adam Rippon raises fabulously manicured eyebrows for his leather harness tuxedo combo on the red carpet.
A Russian sex worker says she's got audio tapes on Republicans and Russians tampering in the elections.
And Kristen Wiig may play the cheetah in the new Wonder Woman movie.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. We have breaking news on Feast of Fun. Attention, everyone. RuPaul has something to say. Each morning, I pray to set aside everything I think I know so I may have an open mind and new experience. I understand and regret the hurt I have caused. The trans community are heroes of our shared LGBTQ movement. You are my teachers.
I have to say, your RuPaul is much better than Trixie's.
Actually, her Trixie's RuPaul is my imitation of RuPaul, which is an imitation of Sharon Needles, which is an imitation of RuPaul. What's going on with RuPaul? Well, let's find out. Our guest today is Vivian DeJour, a drag queen who's been through hell and back on the pageant scene. And she also is a public school teacher, so you imagine, you know, she's finding them from all angles. And she just recently won the coveted title of Miss Gay Illinois US of A.
Yes.
2018.
It was a crazy ride. Thank you guys for having me on the show.
Spoken
I'm
like a true pageant winner. I am just honored to be on your program, Fausto, and Mark, and I hope that I can do it justice the way that RuPaul always does justice.
Well, I won't be doing any retractions of anything that I say. So.
What's the worst thing you you've ever publicly said about anything, and then you're just like, don't wish I didn't said that?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I'm really careful. I'm like Obama. I really think about what I'm going to say before I open my mouth as to not have any retractions. Plus, I don't really care what anybody else thinks about what I say.
Do you think that's why Obama talks really fast and then very slow.
Yes. I think he is very deliberate about what he wants to say and when he wants to say it. And so he thinks about it as opposed to our current person in the White House.
Chino in chief.
Yes. Who says anything and everything that comes to his mind. So.
So what's going on with RuPaul for people who are not familiar with all this stuff? So RuPaul's a drag queen who hosts a very popular TV show called RuPaul's Drag Race. And right now it's a show. It's one of the probably the only way that if you want a national career or international career as a drag queen, you got to get on that show.
Because it elevates your career. Unless you're the only girls that are getting as much work as the girls on RuPaul's Drag Race are the girls who have been at it for like 20, 30 years. You know, the Coco Perus, the Jackie Beats, the Lady Bunnies, and even them, they're like riding on some of that Drag Race coattails.
Well, and they have careers because of their other media appearances. Yeah. Jackie Beat was part of Dirty Sanchez, which was a very popular music band. And she was also a comedy writer for some of the greatest comedians of all time, including mm-hmm. Joan Rivers. Mm-hmm. And Coco Peru was a star of so many films, including Tu Wong Fu and Trick and so on and so mm-hmm. forth.
And was on Will and Grace and all that. So she, RuPaul did an interview with The Guardian, and they talked about Drag Race, and she was quoted as saying, "Drag loses its sense of danger and its sense of irony once it's not men doing it, because at its core, it's a social statement and a big FU to male-dominated culture. So for men to do it, it's really punk rock, because it's a real rejection of masculinity." And so, because, you know, she was talking about, like, would you ever have a female person on, and that was her answer. And so then they went on to say, well, Peppermint is trans. You had her on. What's the deal with that? And she goes, it's an interesting area. Peppermint didn't get breast implants until after she left our show. She was identifying as a woman, but she hadn't really transitioned. And so that's kind of like a sticky point for a lot of people, because it's like, well, who are you to define when somebody's, like, transitioned or not? And it's not, it's what's going on in their head, not what they've done with their bodies. And so she's made some other comments on Twitter saying, like, because the question is, can trans women be drag queens on her show? And she says, well, you know, she made an analogy saying, you know, you could be in an Olympic athlete, you can be an athlete, but if you start doping, you're not going to get into the Olympics, meaning, like, you can't get on Drag Race if you take, like, estrogen. But how many of those girls have taken estrogen and still gotten on?
Or have had any other kinds of mm-hmm. Augmentation, whether mm-hmm. it be in your lips or hips or anything like that?
Yeah. You know, so
well, so Trinity the Tuck Taylor brags, like, girl, none of this is real. She's yeah. like, she got on Drag Race.
But she doesn't have titties, so I guess for RuPaul, it was like, it was the tits or the thing.
Well, I'm wondering if they, you saw the movie 16 Candles when Molly Ringwald starts developing breasts, and her grandmother, Carol, played by Carol Cook,
who we interviewed,
who was on the show, she goes up to her and says, "Oh, my dear, look at, she has boobies, and they're so perky," and then she starts grabbing them. And I wonder if RuPaul does that with the girls on Drag Race. Just to see.
That would be awkward. Just a little bit.
I would want to watch,
Mama
though.
Ru, let go, let go, let go.
Me too, me too.
So, you know, I don't know about you guys, but, like, my Facebook and Twitter and stuff like that for the past 2 days have been, like, people just freaking out over this. And it's, like, it's nothing new coming from RuPaul, because she's said it in the past. But, you know, we love that show. Everybody loves that show. And when you're on television, people have this idea. It's like, you can do no wrong. They trust you and they love you, but then everybody's like shocked that she'd say something like this, even though she has said something like this for many years
over and over again.
And so I was just kind of like, I posted on my Facebook, like, I forgive RuPaul for her outdated views on who, you know, what is a drag queen. And it's probably got the most traffic my Facebook page has ever gotten, people all kind of chiming in. And the thing with me is, like, I said it because it was just like, I don't want her terrible idea of what is a drag queen to take away from, you know, to hurt me, you know, to take away what I think of, like, drag is, or take away from my enjoyment from the show.
I totally agree. You know? And for me, like, I look at it like, I look at drag just from my own perspective. Everybody mm-hmm. else can have their own interpretation of what drag is. But for me and my aesthetic, drag is female impersonation for me. That doesn't mean it has to be female impersonation mm-hmm. for somebody else. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean it has to be, you know, a man dressing as a woman for anybody else. Mm-hmm. But for me personally, that's what I like. That's what I like to do. And that's how I like to mm-hmm. present myself as a performer. Mm-hmm. But anybody else can perform and present themselves in any fashion that they want, as long as they want to get on stage with some heels on. By all means.
Because your aesthetic, because, you know, you're a pageant title holder now, so you're like, your aesthetic is more of that pageant girl kind of look.
Well, it's developed over mm-hmm. over time. I wouldn't call myself necessarily a pageant queen. I don't like those kind
of
labels. I do. I do have a title.
So I'll say the title one more time. It's Miss Gay Illinois US of A.
Yes.
And there's actually another competing drag pageant called the Miss Gay USA. Right, and that's yes. why they did the Gay US of A in order to not compete. Mm-hmm.
And then there's also Miss Gay America. Mm-hmm. There's a ton of different systems. And
Miss Continental
here in Chicago.
Will this get you into Continental? Or is this a different feeder system?
It's a different feeder system.
Okay.
So this particular system is US of A, and I'll go to the national pageant in May and compete for Miss Gay US of A. In Dallas, Texas, in May.
And so, just quickly with this pageant system, is it very similar to RuPaul's Drag Race, where they dunk you in a tub of water?
Well, no.
Is there a titty quotient on there?
No. Well, in some pageant systems, they allow for trans women or people who have had some kind of body augmentation. Mm-hmm. And in US of A, they don't discriminate based on your body type. Mm-hmm. But for me, my journey.
That's part of the reason why they have the different pageants.
That's why they developed in the beginning, yes. Because there were some pageants that didn't want to have any trans women, and what they wanted, you had to be male and present as male and then transform into, mm-hmm. This beautiful creature. Mm-hmm. And then other pageants were like, no, we can have all kinds of performers.
Mm-hmm. Like Continental, and I believe the baton that used to be that if you were a performer or if you were a contestant, like you could be on hormones, you could have breast enhancement, but you had to have a penis. And I don't know. I think they may have relaxed that rule.
I honestly don't know. I haven't. Yeah. I've never done Continental. Mm-hmm. I don't know what their contestant mm-hmm. handbook looks like. I can only speak to US of A.
What do you get if you win Miss Illinois Gay US of A?
So you get a prize.
Am I saying that correctly? The state comes first, and then
Gay Miss Gay Illinois US of A.
Okay.
And so you get some money back. Thank goodness, because
drag is expensive.
It is expensive, and as my good sister Dixie Devereaux says, this shit don't sparkle for free. So.
I'm gonna put that on a t-shirt.
Yes.
Stealing that. Sorry.
This shit don't sparkle for free. And so you get a prize package, and I got a sash and a crown and all of the wonderful accolades that you could get with winning a pageant, in addition to a bunch of shade from people who thought I shouldn't have won. But that happens.
Already?
Well, what did it
yes.
take?
Wait, hold on a second. Where are people expressing an opinion that you stole the crown from somebody else?
Oh, it was over Facebook and...
It wasn't immediately like in The Queen, we're like, look at her, she doesn't deserve it.
Oh, well, it wasn't right in my face like that. They were, covert on Facebook, but I heard about it, and it was, I felt like that. I felt like that scene. But when you start to win and you start to be popular and people recognize you for your talent, there's always going to be somebody who wants to hate on you. And if they're talking about you, then I'm doing my job. So, mm-hmm. It's like Jinx Monsoon. It's water off a duck's back. It doesn't bother me.
Mm. What other people say of me is none of my business.
That is absolutely true.
If they don't
true.
Pay your bills, then pay them no mind, because poor people don't really matter.
So what do you think your secret is to winning this? How'd you snatch the crown?
Well, I think first and foremost, I was absolutely 100% Vivian. Mm-hmm. I gave them everything that I have developed over the last 5 or 6 years of my drag aesthetic. And I think that that helped me show a sense of confidence. I did my own makeup. I did my own, I styled my own wigs. For the pageant,
don't they all do that? Aren't you required to?
No, a lot of pageant people
have teams.
They have whole teams where people
come
in.
You were all by yourself.
I won't say I was by myself, because that would diminish my team that I had. But I did do my own makeup.
Well,
I did.
You had Aja helping you with your dress, but that doesn't count, right?
Well, I made the dress myself.
Yeah, okay. Sure, BB. Yeah. Sure, you did. So you won this, but people were just like, girl, you don't deserve this. What was that? What was the criticism? Why? I don't want to take the crown away from you so quickly. But,
they were saying things like, your hair was terrible. Your dress was your evening gown was falling all off of you, and this and that.
That's
and,
everybody, though.
And your makeup wasn't as good as mine. And at the end of the day,
very subjective.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, the whole pageant system is really subjective when it comes to mm-hmm. the judges. What are they looking for on that particular day? I've done a couple of pageants where I've worn the same evening gown and gotten praise for one and read to filth in my judges sheets for. In another one. So it really kind of depends.
And a lot, do you get interviewed as a boy too?
Yes. Yeah. That's one thing. And they actually, they don't tell you to do one or the other. I personally prefer to interview as a boy, because there's three categories in the US of A system. There's interview, evening gown, and talent. And you get judged 50% of your score is talent, and then 25% for evening gown and 25% for interview. And I prefer to interview as a boy because I want them to see this transformation that I'm making, mm-hmm. that sure. I go from, you know, this kind of scruffy looking public school teacher to the glamorous Vivian DeJour.
Now, this is a family show, so can we actually talk about what your talent is? Or is
Oh, yeah, absolutely we can. So my talent that I did when I won and that I'm going to take with me, I actually did a gospel number because I have big roots in gospel music. I grew up in a church and singing in the church. And
singing a cappella yourself, like you with your own voice or lip syncing?
Singing in church, yeah. Not a cappella, but singing in church with the in the church choir, in the children's choir, and in the adults choir. And so I wanted to pay tribute to that part of my life, and all of the, you know, kind of eccentric older ladies that go to church and wear the church suits and the big wigs and the hats and the whole thing. And I wanted to do a number like that. So I started off with, I did a mix of songs. It starts just with Wade in the Water. And then I
That's like Wade in the Water.
I did a version by, Sweet Honey in the Rock. And then a transitions to, a song called I've Already Been to the Water by, Vicky Winans. And it's kind of like an upbeat, really like heavy bassline driving gospel song.
And at the end of your performance, your father comes out, who's a church minister, and you hug him and say, See Papa? Papa,
sinners have song, too.
Soul. Is it song or soul?
You know what? I go back and forth. I can't really understand what she's saying.
I thought it was soul.
I think it's soul or song. One of the two. I'm not sure which.
From the color purple. Yes. Donut.
You show is beautiful, Miss Vivian DeJour.
So did you sing for your talent, or did you lip sync it?
Lip sync.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's great.
So I assume most of the girls lip synced for their talent. Is that right?
Yeah, so I have been in pageants where I've seen girls live sing, and it just depends on, you know, what they want to do. For nationals, not to give away my whole shtick for nationals, but you do two talents. You do one for the preliminary and then one for the finals. And sometimes they do the same talent and sometimes it's something different. I'm going to do something different. I'm actually probably going to play guitar and sing or play piano and sing for
this
my
talent.
This
is turning into American Idol. Right? It's like you guys are actually coming out and singing with your own voices.
I think it's interesting. I think, you know, I've seen so many different talents. I've seen people do, you know, some beautiful ballet, and I've seen people do all kinds of lyrical dancing, and I've seen people do lip syncing and all of the big drag, you know, choreography that everybody does. I've seen all different kinds of talents. And I think that's one of the great things about doing pageants is that you get to be creative. I've seen some really hilarious comedy routines where there's no song at all. It's all lip sync to dialogue, which I think is so much harder than actually lip syncing to a song. But it's really great to explore that different kind of talent and get to really get some really critical feedback on what you're doing as a performer, because you don't usually get that. You know, if you're just performing at a bar, everybody goes, oh, I loved it, it was great, and this and that, or they kind of keep their mouth shut. But you have the opportunity to get some actual feedback from people who either have been drag queens and are title holders, or people who know a lot about the drag scene and drag performances, which I think is hard for a lot of people to do, which is why a lot of people don't do pageants.
Well, it seems like, you know, American Idol is a pageant. The Voice is a pageant. Dancing with the Stars is a pageant. RuPaul's Drag Race is a pageant, too. And just like the drag queen pageants in the physical world, the television shows usually don't have a lot of diversity. There's usually very little trans representation in any of them. Except I think Glee was the one that started opening doors for a lot of trans performers.
They've had a few trans people on there, yeah, for sure.
Even though Glee was supposed to be a fictional television show, all of a sudden they started having contests and casting people based on the contest into the show and stuff. And so I'm wondering if, like, you know, maybe the problem with RuPaul's Drag Race is just that there's just one of those shows on television.
I would love to see something similar.
I mean, there's
similar.
Dracula.
Yeah. I would love to see, you know, more show contests that showcase drag performers in different ways. You know, I've often said that RuPaul's Drag Race is not necessarily for me. And one of the big reasons that it's not for me is because I don't think it's going to showcase my drag and my aesthetic to the best, in the best light. And that's not a dig on RuPaul's Drag Race by any means, but I think that the challenges that they have and things like that don't necessarily fit what it is I do mm-hmm. on, or will show what I do on a regular right. basis.
And that's a big critique, and that's something Lady Bunny says is like about the show, and her big complaint is like, you know, they have all these challenges for these drag queens, but like, what is a drag queen at the end of the day? They're up there lip syncing, but like, you're having acting challenges, or they have to do this kind of challenge and this kind of challenge. It doesn't, because it makes no sense for some of it. But you know, for us, you know, spectators watching it, it's just like, for us, it's just pure fun, mm-hmm. and it's nice to see people kind of get pushed out of their comfort zone.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, be like, you have to do this challenge or you're going home, and you're like, well, okay.
And that's part of why I started doing pageants in the first place, because I wanted to do something different. I wanted to prove to myself that I could do it mm-hmm. and that I could accomplish this, you know, mm-hmm. this whole, you know, big monster mm-hmm. of the pageant scene, and take on that challenge. And I think I did that, clearly.
Mm-hmm. Well, best of luck in Texas. So you just won this at the end of February.
Yes.
And now already May is coming, and you have that's pretty quick turnaround, huh?
Yes, it
What's
is.
What's coming in May?
And May is the challenge.
The national pageant.
National pageant, so.
Mm-hmm. And yes, it is very quick coming. And so I have a lot of work to do. I'm actually getting a new evening gown designed. I'm working in the process for that. I'm getting the process of getting some more backup dancers mm-hmm. to take to Dallas for my...
Oh, you gotta take them with you?
Mm-hmm.
Girl, this shit gets expensive.
I told you, it don't spark
for
free.
Who's paying for all this?
She's raising her hand right now. That's me.
She's Girl. Her own sugar mama.
Yes. So I will be having
because
some benefit shows.
You are that type of girl.
Yes. Well, you know, part of it is done by the promoter of the pageant. So Sharon Sharalike is one of the drag queens that, yes, she is the promoter for the Miss Gay Illinois pageant. And so she's going to do a lot of helping with me and working with me on getting me ready for nationals. I'm also going to be doing a lot of benefit shows coming up where I get to entertain people, which is what I do as an, you know, I'm an entertainer.
Bring the tips, folks.
Yes. And have people come in and entertain, you know, and help raise some money to offset some of the costs for this.
Let's weigh in on RuPaul saying that you gotta have not very nice, your tits can't be too big, lady, if you're gonna be on my show, basically. It's right. boiled down.
Well, now
to,
she's taking that back, I guess, to yeah. some degree, but it's still a little bit.
But
of
it was a sentiment, you know, RuPaul was being honest and saying this is how it has been so far.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that will change in the future.
Well, now she had another tweet and say the only thing that we have ever screened our contestants for is cunning,
charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent.
But you have to also understand, too, is that, you know, there, like, her saying these kinds of things may be violations of fair employment practices, you know, because basically, oh, yeah. You know, it is a job, you know, they're hiring people to perform as actors on their TV show. And if you're being discriminating based on sex and, or, you know, it could open
the
you up to
the state of California
a,
does
could,
have
could
you
up to
policies.
Like a bunch of lawsuits. So, yeah. And even if the lawsuits might not be founded, it's still going to cost them money. And they're just kind of like, you know, you don't have to be a turd about this. The other thing too, remember, she's getting a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame on mm-hmm. March 16th.
Oh, fuck.
And she's going to have to show up for that. And how do you think that's going to go over?
with people you protesting, know? Picketing.
You know, exactly.
That.
So anything could happen. So, but I, in my heart, I want to believe that she kind of changed her idea of what it takes.
Yeah, she needs to sing, you know, God is trying to tell you something.
Yes.
You know, and the what is it? Who's the trans contestant that gave her all that flack? The Heather. Carmen Carrera is like, see, RuPaul, even trans girls have style.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly, that was a wonderful Carmen Carrera impersonation.
I'm doing original OG Carmen Carrera.
Yes.
Not the, you know.
The refined.
This is Carmen Carrera, and thank you guys all so much for, you know.
But season, originally was season her voice, 2 Carmen Carrera?
Season 2 Carmen Carrera. She was season 3.
Was it 3?
Yeah, because Raja won the season with the Heathers, and she was
oh, that's
Heather
right,
girls.
That's right.
I got a Dragipedia in this old.
I'm like RuPaul.
Coconut.
I don't remember which girl was on
they
what
did
season.
They did a reboot of the Heathers, but I it's posted online. You can watch the movie, the original movie. They did a TV series
with Winona based, Ryder.
Yeah, the movie with Winona Ryder and Shannon Doherty. They did a reboot, a television show, but people are absolutely hating it. They're like, it's just terrible, and then it's like it's really transphobic and homophobic. Like it's really just stupid and dumb. And they're like, how did this even get made?
Now, in defense of RuPaul, doing a television show that is a contest is a really delicate thing. And I believe, and I think RuPaul has liked to quote me on this, is a drag queen is anyone who transforms themselves into a beautiful creature of their own imagination. And RuPaul usually slices the word everyone out of that phrase when she uses it, but it's still the idea is there that at drag at its core is about transforming yourself into something that you created. And at the same time, so that's the first half is the drag. The second half is race. And you have to make it a fair fight because nothing is more boring than a race that's rigged. Mm. And when we know that somebody is going to, like, even, you know, Bianca Del Rio was entertaining, but you know she was going to win.
Bob the drag queen, I knew from the beginning Bob was going to win.
And that's a tricky situation the producers find themselves in because they find these extraordinary talents and they want to showcase them to build their careers and hopefully cash in on some of that money. And then at the same time, you want to make it so people don't know what's going to happen. And so you have to limit who gets to be on that show in order to make it a fair race. Now, I believe that you can have a diversity of people and make it a fair race, but it is not an easy thing to do. And so I would say the producers have been lazy. And so I'm glad that a lot of people are actually putting a lot of pressure and it's gotten all this negative reaction because ultimately we love RuPaul's Drag Race. We want to see that show be around for generations to come. And sometimes you have to break a few eggs to make a beautiful omelet.
Well, and I just love that she relented to some degree because it's like all these people that were just so, like, you know, pitchforks out ready to attack anybody who said that, you know, trans women can't do drag. And the people are like, it's her show. Let her do what she wants and let her discriminate. And like, eat it, suckers.
Well, so what exactly, where are we left with all this, Vivian?
Well, I think that, like you said, you know, it's RuPaul's show.
Mm-hmm.
And she ultimately gets to make the decision. Now, you don't have to agree with that decision, but it's her show and it's her decision. My personal philosophy on it is if you are unhappy with the way that the show is being produced, then either don't watch it or support those people who are around you who are doing that art form in your local bars and clubs. You know, if you want to see more trans people performing, then go support them when they are performing. Mm-hmm. If you want to see more, you know, beautiful fishy queens, go support them in your local bar so that they get booked. If mm-hmm. you want to see more, you know, quote unquote garbage queens, you know, self-identified garbage queens or whoever.
Go see Kevi Vida, House of Travesties.
Mm-hmm. You know, go support your local drag performers.
Right. 'Cause watching a television show is not supporting your local drag.
Exactly. Sure. It's not supporting
local drag.
We all
have difficult lives and jobs, you know, and it's like, I would love to see more drag shows. I just don't, you know, unfortunately I have to drive to work. You know, and literally the few times I get to see drag is on my cell phone from iTunes, you know, watching Drag Race reruns. It's like, I want to encourage, and that's why we did Cooking with Drag Queens and we do Feast of Fun, is because we want to bring some of that into the world. And I'm just pleased as punch that Dragula is doing so well.
Yes.
And I know that the Boulay brothers definitely have a much more broader view of drag. Disasterina is a cisgendered heterosexual male who went pretty far in her season and maybe showing up on another series soon.
Foreshadowing
means it's not set in stone, but you know, and that's why we do Cooking with Drag Queens, is because we do believe that drag queens can be anybody, and we want to showcase that, and we're, you know, expanding that by stretching it and lubing it up and getting already, honey bunny. I'm just really excited about the sex worker. She calls herself the sex coach.
Oh, the
Russian
one who
sex coach
who knows all about Trump's collusion.
It sounds too good to be true.
So her name is not Nastia Rybka.
Nastia Rybka.
That's her chosen name. That's her stage name.
Okay.
Yeah. She on Instagram she calls herself the next president of Russia.
Yeah. Okay.
And she claims that she has hours of audio recordings between Americans and high-ranking Russian officials, that she has names and receipts that will basically bring down the Trump administration. And she is under arrest right now in Thailand for being a you know, sex worker. And
in Thailand, was she trafficking sex people?
She might have been trafficking, and she was part of a group. They call themselves sex coaches, like a life coach, only you fuck them for sex. And I was like, God damn it, why didn't I think of that? And she strikes me as like she has a kind of a funny sense of humor about herself, and she has her memoirs. I'm not kidding.
Are they of a geisha?
No, sure. Okay. Her memoirs is Life Without Panties is the title of her memoir.
So that could be my memoir.
So eat your heart out, Katya Zamolochikova.
Is that how it's pronounced?
Zamolochikova. Oh, okay. Sorry.
I don't know. I was just asking.
I have to go. I did it fast because, like, even Katya's like...
She changes it, too.
She mispronounces her own name every time. You know. But the way that I learned it is Zamolochikova. The D is silent.
Zamolochikova.
And all it's right. Katya.
Yeah, it's Katya.
But I don't know where she is right now. She's like Jesus walking through the desert. She's missing in action.
Isn't she...
she took a break.
Yeah, she took a break. From drag for a while. I think she came out with a statement, or someone I heard somewhere said she was, you know, taking like a mental break. Mm-hmm. And I applaud her for that. I think absolutely. I think everybody should do that at some point. I think we all sometimes need to take a step back and do some self-care. Mm-hmm.
Especially for her, somebody who went from like being like, you know, relative unknown to being like famous overnight, and then just working constantly, being pushed to work and work and work. So, yeah,
honey, pounding that stage with your pussy like she does is not an easy thing to do.
And no, it is not.
You gotta let the steam escape.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
yeah. Before you go back to bruising the box.
And I love Katya, and I love their show. Katya and Trixie show. Sure. I think it's fantastic.
The Trixie and Katya show.
Do you like it better with Bob now, though? Or no?
I can't say whether I like it better because they've only seen one episode with Bob. However, I laughed so hard at Bob and Trixie that it was just so funny. And I laughed that same way with Katya and Trixie. But it'd be interesting to see them together. I would like to see all three of them on the show, to be honest with you. I think it would just be hilarious.
I'm sure Bob would love that. So now you didn't see the Oscars, but you had to have seen Adam Rippon's outfit.
I did see it.
So for the people out there that don't know, Adam Rippon is a ice skater, and he won the bronze at the Winter Olympics. And he was very outspoken against, you know, our president Pence being at the Olympics because he's very anti-LGBT. And so he was invited to go to the Oscars, and he was dressed by Moschino, and he wore a tuxedo, but also wore a harness. And people were just like, what the hell is going on? Why are you wearing this? And like so many people have had so many different reactions. I think my favorite reaction is from Tyra, who was like, ho, but make it fashion. Because she's got that.
Ho, but make it fashion. I thought it was great. I thought it was very bold of him to do.
Yeah.
And I applaud him for it. I applaud him for, you know, kind of just being himself and going to the Oscars and being his true 100% self. And I think that that's wonderful.
And I think it's a very unique fashion choice. Some people were complaining that it was ill fitting because I think it looked as though it appeared like it was hanging too low. I don't know if like, is this like a traditional leather harness? Is it, you know, is it Moschino because he's a designer? Did he make it a little different? What's the rest of it look?
I don't know. I know some people who do make harnesses here in Chicago and stuff like that. So I'd have to ask them what they thought of at least how it fit.
Because he has a nice, bright, tight, skinny, muscular chest, and I'm looking at the photos, and it was, like, loose. So, you know, when it comes to leather harnesses, if you weren't there, he could have, like, not worn a white shirt and be kind of like a playboy, playgirl stripper, you know, with a little bow tie. That would have been really hot. And that, you know, Jennifer Lopez practically showed her ass at the Oscars. So people are going, oh my God, you can't show it. It's too sexy for the Oscars. And I'm like, my only complaint about Adam Rippon is that he didn't show enough skin. Because he's got a nice little tight skater body and a nice booty. And, you know, cut a hole, honey. Let us see. As Joan Crawford said, put a damn window where it ought to be.
But what's nice though is we see somebody who actually took like a fashion risk, and it came from a, you know, a gay man to do it, because a lot of people are complaining about the red carpets that they're just kind of boring anymore, because like nobody's wearing those Bjork outfits, nobody's taking risks, nobody's wearing anything that's like outrageous. But it was fun to see Rita Joan Moreno Rivers. For sure rewear her outfit that she wore.
Oh yeah, I saw that picture.
She won the Oscar for West Side Story, and then how many years later, is it 60 some years later, she wore that same dress.
I thought that was brilliant.
I know, it was brilliant. It was beautiful. And it was interesting because, you know, you see it, and then she said, I was in the Philippines working on something, and I flew back for it, and I bought that dress in the Philippines. And then you look at it, and you're like, yeah, that really kind of looks like something. Like, once you know it's from the Philippines, it looks Filipino.
Only Rita Moreno can pull off wearing the same dress twice and be considered fashion forward.
Uh-huh. Unless you're some drag queens in Chicago.
Yeah, what is it? The queens, and when you're in those pageants, those dresses aren't cheap. And,
no, they are not.
And then what do you do with them? Because you can't wear them again.
Well, the dress I'm getting designed for me, I'm planning on wearing again, and then I'm going to probably sell it. You see, if you, like, I'm on a lot of, like, Facebook groups for, like, drag queen resale.
Drag swap.
Yeah, and all that kind
of
stuff.
You got to watch out for some of those scammers.
Oh, yeah, I never buy anything from there.
Okay.
I've never bought anything from there. I just like to look.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Window shopping. Mm-hmm. But I'll probably sell mine at some point, this one that I'm getting made.
I got to say, you know, Cece LaRouge, if you're in Chicago, she'll give you a hookup.
Yeah, she's wonderful. Her stuff is just so gorgeous. I reached out to her, Eddie Couture, and Ryan Royale are all wonderful.
Are they all local?
Yes, they're all local, and they're all wonderful designers.
Is it better to have them sort of modify something that you can return to them, sort of like a hybrid between buying and renting, as opposed to just paying them to make you gown after gown after gown?
Honestly, I don't know if that's an option.
Yeah.
I've never, like I said, this is all, the whole pageant, the national pageant level is all new to me. So I know that I wanted to get something designed for my evening gown competition. And so that's what I'm going to do. But I'm going to wear the hell out of this dress.
And you're really, I'm a little confused. Have you actually sang with your own voice, or are you planning to?
I have before, yes.
Okay, but not for this contest, did you?
Or? No, no.
Oh, I see. So you were lip syncing gospel,
yes,
medley, and now in the next one, you're going to pull out your guitar and actually sing live.
I'm going to do both. I'll have my lip sync performance, gospel performance, and then I'm going to do another song where I play and sing. Probably have some backup singers.
Oh, happy day.
It probably won't be gospel because I don't want to, you know, run out all my gospel songs before I've done other pageants. But
you're going to be like a Whoopi Goldberg.
Because that's the thing.
Yeah.
Once you start doing pageants, they become addictive. I mean, I've gone to some queens' places and like they've got like 14, 15 crowns, you know, all in like
it's
these
like
little vinyl
chips.
Bags because they don't want dust on them and stuff.
You know, for me, I really enjoyed this process that I'm going through. I have to see how this national pageant goes to decide whether or not I'm going to compete later on. Because actually in my contract, I can't compete for any other pageants while I'm the reigning Miss Gay Illinois. So I have to wait until next year until I step down to be able to compete again. So we'll see what happens at that time if
now,
I want to keep going.
Do people from all 50 states show up for this? Or is it like 38 states?
Like
I think it's
New Mexico's not represented.
I don't know which states have prelims for the national pageant. I know that there's going to be, I think, 40 contestants, but like Texas has like three different prelims for US of A.
So Miss East Texas, Miss Panhandle,
Miss Lone Star, I think, is one. I don't know the other two. I can't remember off the top of my head.
But it's Oki Fenoki
from Illinois.
Yes.
All right.
So does Florida have two and so on? But
it's like the Electoral College.
But Wyoming has none. Miss Brokeback Mountain.
Oh, that would be a good one.
Yeah, why not? The Wyoming. Hey, Queens.
Yes, start your own franchise in Wyoming. Yeah. And speaking of, we're looking to expand the US of A system in Chicago. So anybody out there who's listening who wants to franchise a prelim for Miss Illinois, please get in contact with me. We can make that happen so we can bring some more Chicago people. Because I was the only Chicago queen who competed for Miss Illinois.
Oh, wow.
So like all those rich celebrities that want to become judges on RuPaul's Drag Race, why don't they just like start their own pageant? Or, you know, they're so into drag, Adam Lambert. Right. Put your money where your mouth is and sponsor a queen for a pageant.
Yeah, do a franchise for US of A, and then you get to you. Basically, you become the promoter. So you run the statewide pageant or the prelim, and you help the queen who wins go to the national pageant.
I have to say, Adam Lambert is now my hero after last week's RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars
episode. That was hilarious.
Especially when he told Trixie in front of an international audience that she was standoffish. Because we did a cooking with drag queens with her, and every comment from people like criticizing us is like, look at her just standing off to the side. I'm like, yeah, because she's standoffish.
Well, to be fair, like Trixie was pretty nervous, she was petrified. Wearing this very flammable wig near an open flame. A wok, you know, this giant, and that wok is not little. It's huge. It's the size of a hubcap. And we're, you know, the flames come in and the pud thai's stirring around, and she's
just like, not a cook at all.
And she's like, I had just gotten started on RuPaul's Drag Race, and that terrible fire on Cooking with Drag Queens ended my career. You know, so Mark, we have a fire extinguisher just for people.
Just in case.
Just in case. That's literally like
the the podcast gets too hot.
That's good. That's good cooking technique. It's good to have a fire extinguisher in your kitchen.
So what did you guys, spoiler alert for those people who didn't watch RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars Season 3, the queen who won, Benda Creme, seemed to have a hard time on the whole episode because she really felt like, I'm just tired, I'm exhausted, these people are annoying, I brought back, you know, they brought back these drag queens who were eliminated, and now they're coming for me, and she's like, I'm not here for this drama.
Well, it's mostly Morgan McMichaels confronting her, and a lot of the other queens saying, you're a big old phony. Because you're
a hypocrite.
You're trying to be this like nice girl, but at the same time, you know, you have no problem, no remorse sending these people home. And in fact, she did. So to strike a balance, she blacked out. I think it was Kennedy Davenport's name. She did choose Kennedy's lipstick, which was
Kennedy's.
Yes, it was Kennedy's three. Yeah. So she kind of still hinted that Kennedy should have gone home, like
right
by choosing that one, and then blacked out her name, Kennedy's name, and wrote Della on it and sent herself home. Now, what I understand is the producers did not tell RuPaul or the other judges that that was going to happen, and those reactions were genuine. And of course, RuPaul's like, no more white out ever.
And I like how she's just like, I don't know how I feel about this. She's like tapping her ear like, tell me what I'm supposed to feel. Because she has a little earpiece in, you know, that she can.
Oh, yeah.
And they feed her jokes.
All those quips and stuff.
Yeah.
Those are not coming from off the top of her head.
Some of them are. I think she's a very smart person.
Listen.
And very funny. But also, too, it's better when you have some. What?
Yeah, it's better when you have some backup.
You can listen to her on this podcast, us throwing curveballs at her left and right. And she's like a pro.
Yeah, she's a ninja.
Hitting them out of the park, you know. So there is not. RuPaul is very intelligent.
And I don't doubt it.
With her joke humor.
But listen, even Joan Rivers, who is brilliant, had, you know, a team of comedy writers for her. So you can't. You know, you can't really knock them down for that. But everybody, you know, it's weird how a lot of people are, like, mad at Ben de la Creme for doing it and saying, like, it's a cop-out, you ruined that situation, and now you're just trying to, like, make yourself, like, that you're better than everything. I don't know.
It's better than the contest.
Better than the contest and all that kind of stuff.
Did you accept it, Vivian, or do you feel like it was disrespectful?
I feel like it was a little disrespectful. I understand her reasoning behind all of what she did and why she did it. I just feel like it's disrespectful. I think it's disrespectful to the other contestants, and I think it's disrespectful to RuPaul. You're basically saying, well, I've won all these challenges, and now instead of, you know, going on and maybe not winning and looking bad, I'm going to step away as the person who was clearly going to win, but I am just so great that I stepped aside. And I think that's kind of a cop-out. Now, that's not to say that I don't love Ben de la Creme, because I think her drag is just spot on. It is just amazing. She's brilliant. She is funny. And she's going to continue to have a wonderful career long after, you know, All-Stars 3. But I do think it was kind of a cop-out. And, you know, I was sad to see her go. I was more disappointed that she didn't stick it out to win that she kind of gave up. Mm-hmm. That's why I was disappointed.
I mean, I really liked it because it showed, it's just like your values as a person. You're like, it's not about competition to me like this. It's about who I am. And like, this is not something I want to participate in this kind of thing. And look at these other people. These people are talented and they deserve a chance to shine too.
I thought that was really great mm-hmm. too, that she said that and has that mindset. But if that's your mindset, then you shouldn't have agreed to do it in the first place.
Yeah, she may have changed her mind. The other thing, though, too, is, like, remember, she was Miss Congeniality. She's a type of person that is, you know,
to pleaser.
She's a pleaser. She's somebody like that. And the other thing, too, is just because she stepped out of the competition, she was coming back for the reunion show where they're going to crown the winner. There's no stopping Ru from crowning her a winner.
That would be...
You know, that would be the gag of the season.
Oh,
right?
My goodness.
I do like when artists show self-sacrifice, because that, to me, ultimately, being an artist is a giving place to be. And too many people turn to art for selfish reasons. And certainly drag queens have a reputation for being selfish or being assholes or
catty
so to see
and all that.
Generosity and kindness and grace. Coming from Ben de la Creme is something to be admired. But at the same time, if you think about it, imagine like if Frances McDormand winning the actress in a leading role Oscar stands up on stage and doesn't say, I want all women to stand up with me. You know, instead said, you know what? I'm giving this role, this award to Meryl Streep because she deserves it more than I do. You know? That'll never happen.
No. Or Lupita Nyong'o.
Or she wasn't up for it. Sally Hawkins, Margot Robbie, who played the Tonya Harding.
Yeah. Yes.
Or Saoirse Ronan in Lady Bird. Mm-hmm. And to me, it was like, I think that's ultimately what we want to do is, you know, when someone gives you an award, when someone gives you a title, it's really hard to accept that, especially when that means other people don't get to receive that.
It is a really hard, you know, thing to do. It's surprisingly enough, it's something that I just experienced. You know, winning this Miss Gay Illinois was not something that I thought I could do it, but then like while I was doing it, I was like, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? There's no way. These girls are so much better than me and this and that. And there was a lot of self-doubt. And then when I won, I was elated that I had won, and oh my god, I can't believe I did this, and I deserve to win. And then, you know, I was like, oh well, what about all these other girls who are standing up here, like, you know, smiling and applauding? Like, there was that sense of like regret's not the right word, but you know, mm-hmm. like remorse, I guess, because you know, when someone wins, somebody else doesn't win.
Yeah.
So it's a very difficult thing sometimes to deal with. And I think that, you know, for me, hopefully I just have to get over it so I can keep winning, you know. And I think I would hope that Vendela will kind of get over that also, so she can keep being successful.
You want to be a real hero, Ben de la Creme? Put an inclusion writer in your contract, like Frances McDormand yes. pointed out. And everyone's like, you mean we could have done this all along? So an inclusion writer means that when you're casting and the crew and the writers and the characters for a film, if an A-list star gets attached to it, they can force the whole production company to have the production reflect the diversity of the society that they're in. And so I think it's brilliant that Frances put that out there. And now you know... Susan Sarandon, but put your money where your mouth is, you know, it's like, and I think this is going to be fantastic.
I agree.
Coco, the film Coco won Best Animated Picture. It's also the most commercially successful film in all of Mexican history.
Wow.
And Black Panther is breaking records of, it's the most commercially successful, second most mm-hmm. commercially successful Marvel film yet. And so far has broken all the box office records for its opening weekend so far.
It was
fantastic.
And
it's unstoppable.
Yeah, it was a fantastic movie. Mm-hmm. If you haven't seen it, go see it, because it is just a wonderful, wonderful movie.
What I loved most about it, I think, is the costumes. Do you think will any of the costumes from that inspire any of your drag?
Yes.
Which ones?
All of them. I call all the costumes. No other drag queen is allowed to do any costumes except Mona Exchange. Yeah. She already did the Black Panther look. Okay. I saw it on Instagram.
And
it was
general?
Sickening. No.
The bald look?
No. The actual Black Panther. And it was mm-hmm. sickening look. Yeah. So she can have that one, but I'll call all the other ones.
We went to a cat-themed party, and I just wore all black. We had friends that were wearing, like, cheetah patterns and all sorts of stuff. And they're like, my God, you didn't even dress up for the cat party. I'm like, I'm like a Black Panther. And they're just like, that's such a cop-out.
I can't wait. I'm watching the movie. I have so many ideas for numbers and performances mm-hmm. that I want to do based on Black Panther. So it's totally, like, wonderful movie in and of itself, but it's so good because it's been such an inspiration for me in my performance art that I'm able to now draw from that mm-hmm. and create something even, you know, create something new mm-hmm. from that. And I can't wait to do
that.
You gotta
make something out of vibranium.
Yes.
not a dildo either.
No. Hey, one of the things
or maybe a dildo. That's hysterical.
But the thing about it is
a vibrator.
It's so important to see, you know, your heritage
represented
absolutely. In film. And to me, like, seeing Coco made me proud to be Latino. It's like, I am proud to be Latino, but it's nice to be reminded how awesome you are.
Yeah, it's so
in
nice.
In a movie, you know?
It's so nice to be represented. I know you mentioned before that you know, in my muggle life, I'm a teacher, and the weekend after I saw Black Panther, I walked into every single one of my classrooms, and I said, have you all seen Black Panther? You need to go see it. Because as a kid, I'm watching superheroes, you know, in cartoons. They weren't really like superhero movies then, mm-hmm. but watching them in cartoons, I was always drawn to the black characters. Like, one of my favorite characters is Storm. She is just this, you know, embodiment of female black power.
You mean Aurora?
Yes, Aurora Monroe. And, you know, part of I think me being a drag queen has to do with me emulating her and this kind of bigger than life, grandiose, you know, mm-hmm. person that she was.
Well, Dax exclamation point says that she's also the reason why she got into drag as well.
And Bugs Bunny.
But no, I mean, certainly like those X-Men characters really inspired a lot of young drag queens too.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, going to see Black Panther and having this huge movie that stars all of these people that look like me and look like my students is such a powerful thing. In fact, on my way to see Black Panther with some friends of mine, I was in a cab and the cab driver asked me, you know, driver asked me where I was going and this and that. And I told him I was going to see Black Panther. And then we got into this whole conversation. He asked me, like, well, why is that movie important and this and that? And he was from India. He was of Indian descent. And at first I thought, okay, now I'm going to have to deal with this ignorant person. But it ended up being a really, really great conversation about race relations in America and how it's different in other parts of the world. And because he didn't understand that dynamic and why it was important.
If he's from India, he understands to some degree because a lot of their caste system is based on the skin color.
Well, he made it sound like he didn't understand and this and that. And it was really, ended up being a really, really great conversation. And, you know, the educator in me was like, yes, I've taught someone something, you know, in this 20-minute cab ride to the movie theater that hopefully they'll take with them and he understands a little bit better about, you know, race relations in America. And then
you turn around and watch the Bollywood version of Spider-Man. And you're like, what the hell is this?
There is a Spider-Man Bollywood
It's off-brand, and it's not licensed, and it's completely bonkers.
Oh, my God, I need to watch this.
And they're singing and dancing.
Does
anyone die, like, in the Spider-Man musical? Because
you can watch clips of it on YouTube, and I believe the Spider-Man, it's very nonsensical. It's only somebody wearing the Spider-Man outfit, and that's it. He doesn't. It's a mess. But it has a reputation for being really one of the most spectacularly weird Indian Bollywood films because it uses something that we're so familiar with, and you're like, how the hell do you see the Spider-Man movie and then translate it to this? You know, but different cultures have different ideas. You know, and
absolutely.
I'm curious to see how the success of Black Panther affects filmmakers in Africa.
Yeah.
You know, and see what they're like, you know, do filmmakers in Africa look at Black Panther and say, what the fuck are you guys smoking over there? You know? So, you know, maybe they might feel like we're misrepresenting their culture or their Or I want to see what the Wakandans think about it. If they exist, which they know because they're fictional. But one representation that we didn't get to see in Black Panther was the romantic relationship between Danai Gurira's character of Okoye, who in the comic book is in love with one of her other lady warriors.
Ooh.
And so people are like, you know, and this is the only time Breitbart wrote about Black Panther. Like, see, Black Panther is erasing LGBT. And people are like, oh no, get the fuck out of here, Breitbart.
Breitbart said that?
Yeah, oh, right winger, Nazi right wingers. Yeah.
They wanted to talk about intersectionality. Mm-hmm.
And I was like, listen, maybe it just, they want to milk the story out a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. Just a tiny bit, then more than one movie. And since Black Panther's been such a commercially successful film, I have no doubt the general's going to get her own film.
I certainly hope so, because she was just fantastic. My favorite part in the movie, well, I have several, but one of my favorite parts was when they're in the little casino, mm-hmm. and she throws her wig off and starts fighting.
The wig jitsu.
Baby, oh my God.
Yeah, and she looked like Bob the Drag Queen, too. She did.
When she did that that melted plastic look.
Oh, yeah. I was just like, girl, this is good. Bob, you know Bob was watching that at home going, dumb.
Yeah.
Stealing my look.
Yes, but it's great to see that film, and you know, we look forward to seeing so many good things. I mean, there's so much good news coming out of industrial entertainment, Hollywood, mm-hmm. In the sense of the diversity, writers,
and representing people as they truly are. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one thing to see people that look like you on film; it's another to see them represented in a positive and powerful way. You know, I can go to the movies and see black people being thugs, and I can go to the movie and see them being, you know, all kinds of things, but to see them in such a powerful state is just, it was a wonderful thing.
And where did Michael B. Jordan come from? Just in terms
I have no idea.
He just popped out of nowhere, and I was like, baby, he's a star. I mean, I haven't seen somebody so charismatic or handsome in a film in a long time.
They're saying that in the next, the sequel to Wonder Woman, that they're going to get Kristen Wiig is going to play her a nemesis, the cheetah. Kristen Wiig is the cheetah, yeah. So they're trying to figure out, they're in talks with her about playing Cheetah, but will she be the central villain? We don't know, because, you know, they're saying that, like, Cheetah was, like, her villain, but she's, like, a fighter, you know, mainly. She's not, like, a mastermind. And so she might be up against Circe, who's the witch who turns people into animals. And if you've ever seen, like, the Justice League Forever, like, there's a wonderful episode with her and Batman, and then Wonder Woman gets turned into a pig. So Batman's like, has to corral this Wonder Woman pig. It's probably my favorite episode.
Didn't Cheetah also, her origin story was that she stole the growth potion from the Native American superhero? And
what was his name?
In Super Friends.
Yes.
Not El Dorado, but, you know, when Super...
The Apache Man?
Apache Man.
I don't know what his name was, but... And people are like, see, cultural appropriation even back then. And she was a villain, and she just stole his bag of medicine, magic medicine that made him big. And that's why Cheetah, I guess, that's her power, is she can grow to be really big.
Why is she Cheetah then?
You're thinking of that's not Cheetah.
That was Cheetah, yeah, in the Super Friends. Yeah. Super Friends Origins. Hold on. Super Friends? Everyone's like, let's Google it. So we searched for it, and it was Giganta, not Cheetah.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Cheetah Woman.
If I steal a Apache Chief's pouch of magic powder, do I become 50 times more fabulous?
You might, but also 50 times bigger, and you can't compete inside the little theaters. Yeah,
on RuPaul's Drag Race, because I'm too big.
You're like, I'm too big, RuPaul! Help me! And RuPaul's like, sorry, you're a little too big for this runway. Vivian Dujour, I guess today's not your day. Got it.
Yes, of the day. I got it.
Well, Vivian, I want to wish you best of luck in the competition in May in Dallas.
Well, thank you so much.
I hope you do very well.
Me too. Yeah. Well, thank you guys for having me on the show. Oh, I appreciate it.
It's a pleasure. Come
had
back.
A great time. I would love to.
Bring back the crown or don't come back at all.
Well, I'm going to do the best I can.
Or just have a good time.
Yes, that's my goal, is to have a good time and entertain some people while I'm there.
You've heard of some of these pageant girls, like they put, you know, itching powder or cayenne pepper in their makeup?
I got my team coming with me, so I'm not worried about it.
You got
it.
Your posse there, mm-hmm. cutting wigs for other girls.
Never. I would never do that. Never.
Thanks so much for joining us. Hey, guys, remember, Feast of Fun is made possible because of generous support of fierce, fabulous, fantastic people like you. Go to feastoffun.com/plus and become a member so you can listen to our interview with various interviews with RuPaul and other drag legends of the years past.
Or maybe you'd like to make a one-time donation. You can do that at feastoffun.com/donate. Every little bit helps to make this show thrive.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.